1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible said here, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. I'll remind you that the church at Corinth had all kinds of problems going on. There was division. There was carnality. They were saying things like, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. If you're not of Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen. Brother Mays Jackson years ago, he said he had a man run up to him and said, I'm one of your converts. He said, so that's what's the matter with you. Amen. Brother Mays had a way, didn't he? The Bible said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I think, Miss Eve, what that means is that Paul said ain't every once in a while. I think that's what that text right there means. And declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I tell you, if you've ever experienced the power of God, you know what that's talking about. The power of God. Power not only to convict you, but power to change you, to change your life. You can be seated. Pray with me for a moment. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, to clothe us in our calling. I'm asking you, Lord, to bless your people. I'm asking you, Lord, to challenge the heart, convict the heart of the unsaved. I'm asking you, Lord, to stir the heart of that one that's grown cold. And I pray, dear Father, today that, Lord, as we stand here today, that we'd realize, our Father, that could be our last opportunity to stand behind this desk and open this book. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to do our best, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Help us, our Lord, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. I'd like to preach to you on this subject today, just Jesus. Just Jesus. And I want to share with you what God's put on my heart. It's going to come from the first three words in the chapter. The word and, the word I, and the word brethren. Just Jesus. Paul started this chapter and said, and I, brethren. The first thing I want to bring out in the message today is just Jesus, and tie it in with the word foolishness. You say, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. Well, the word and is a conjunction. So a conjunction ties chapter number 2 in with chapter number 1. And if you look back in chapter number 1, I think it'll make sense in a moment. The Bible said, for the preaching of the cross in verse 18 is to them that perish foolishness. You see, when you stand and declare that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you stand and preach like that to the world, it's foolishness. When you believe, beloved, that just Jesus can change a man's life, then you're, in the eyes of the world, you're fools. Paul said in one place, we're fools for Christ's sake. I'll tell you, I'm thankful today that I know there's only one ticket out of this world into heaven. And Jesus punched that ticket at Calvary. Amen. Amen. The cross, the Bible said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'll tell you, it dealt with my heart when I found out that though I was wicked, he loved me enough to go to that cross and give his life. Let him spit on him. Let him nail him to a cross. Let him crown him with thorns. Let him beat him to a pulp. Let him blindfold him. Let that crowd blindfold him and punch him in the face and say, prophesy, who hit thee? Beloved, it's just Jesus that's to this world foolishness. You can talk about God and the world don't mind it. You can talk about the Father and the world don't mind it. You can talk about the old man upstairs and the world don't mind it. But honey, when you get down to Jesus, the Bible said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's not just a Christmas text. Honey, I tell you, when you got saved, you experienced Christmas. Say amen. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The greatest gift a man will ever receive comes through the preaching of the cross. The Bible said in verse 19, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? By the way, beloved, look at what's going on in our colleges today. They're supposed to be wise. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to agree with me, but we're fools to stand up against Israel. We're fools to stand with a terrorist group called Hamas. Say amen. And the Bible said here, the Bible said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So that word and, that's a conjunction that ties just Jesus. Jesus, he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save, and that word means except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to say this today. You'll be able to go into churches all over America, all around the world. I'm going to say this, so-called churches, and never hear the name of Jesus. Never hear the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Never hear the message that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Never hear one word spoken against sin. Amen. But thank God those that know the Lord. Paul said, listen, he's got all of that education. Amen. But listen to me, beloved. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Bible said here in verse 21, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that which believe. Could you imagine? I was in a meeting there on Friday night. I could just imagine somebody in Mount Airy walking in off the street in that meeting. That church would probably hold maybe 150 packed out, and it was packed out. Some of the men had to sit in the choir. I could imagine somebody walking in off the street in that meeting, hands in the air, amen, people praising God and shouting the praise of God. Hey, say, this bunch has lost their mind. No, I'll tell you what this bunch has done. They found the mind of Christ. And they know, beloved, this world's not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up yonder somewhere beyond the blue. And we're rejoicing in the good things of God because we heard that Jesus died for our sin according to the Scripture. But he didn't stay dead. He got up the third day. And beloved, he's alive forevermore. Amen. I love that song. You ask me how I know he lives. The Bible said so. That's the main thing. But he lives within my heart. That was not a dead Savior that spoke to me that night and let me know that I needed him in my life. After the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. That's what you're teaching about this morning, brother. I'll tell you, it's a happy day when Jesus is no longer a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to the Father. And we realize he's the only way, beloved, listen, that we can get to the Father. Amen. It's a happy day in a person's life. And the Jews one day are going to experience a happy day. I'm talking about nationally, when God pulls the blinders off. When all the beloved, the
the Antichrist sets himself upon the throne of David and declares himself to be God. And beloved, they're going to know that the abomination of desolation has taken place, and God's going to let them know, Jesus, there he is again. It's the Savior, and he's the only Savior of the world. Amen. The Bible said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But because the foolishness of God, I love this, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Beloved, the word "and," just Jesus, ties it in with the foolishness. We're fools in the eyes of this world. We're fools to have a choir like this, Brother Dale. We're fools, amen, to lift our hands in praise to God. We're fools to shout his praise. We're fools to have a prayer room, amen, and go in there and pray and talk to the God of heaven. I'm reminded when I thought about the prayer room today, Timmy went in there with me today to pray with us, and I like that, amen. I'd just soon have him there as anybody. Say amen. Getting a hold of the Lord, amen. A woman said to a preacher one time, they all gathered around the altar and began to pray. She said, I couldn't understand a word they were saying. He said, honey, they weren't talking to you. I like that. Amen. When we pray, we're not talking to each other. We've talked to each other long enough. We're talking to the God of heaven, amen. And it may be foolishness in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, it is the power of God. Watch this now. Just Jesus and the foolishness. Now I want to talk to you about this for just a moment. The next word is I, and I. I want to talk to you about just Jesus and the flesh. Just Jesus and the flesh. How many of y'all know we got flesh? Amen. How many's got some good flesh? Not me. I got to get my hand down. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Not one good thing in my flesh. That's what Paul said. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Well, look at verse number 26. The Bible said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Look in verse number 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. I tell you what I believe with all of my heart, beloved. I believe Paul had it right. Paul said this. He said, if you want to talk about sinners, he said, look up here. He said, I'm the chief. I'm the chief of sinners. Amen. He said, if you want to talk about saints, he goes like this. I'm less than the least. Amen. Of all the saints of God. That's the attitude that God blesses. Amen. That no flesh should glory. The Bible said, and that ties it in with the foolishness. I, that ties it in with the flesh. Paul said, the reason I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that brings God the glory. That gets your eyes off of man and gets your eyes on Calvary. That gets your eyes off of man and gets your eyes on the Lord Jesus. That gets your eyes, beloved, off of the foolishness of this world and get your eyes on the forgiveness of a Savior that loved us and gave himself for us on that old rugged cross. I'm going to turn over to the book of Philippians and read a passage of Scripture that I believe that just summarizes this really, really well. I thank God for the Bible, don't you? I really do. Listen to what Paul said when you're talking about the flesh. He said in verse 4 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. Watch this. Paul's going to begin to list his credentials, but I thank God he ain't going to get out of the list without telling you what to do with them. Say amen. He's going to give you all the plaques that's hanging on the wall in his office. The Bible said it's circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching, the Bible said, as touching the law. Where am I at here? I missed it. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrews. I touching the law of Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see, he's the one that's saying, listen, I'm determined to know nothing among you. It deals, beloved, in the eyes of the world, it's like foolishness, but it deals with our flesh. When, beloved, our life becomes about Jesus and not about ourselves, when it becomes about eternity and not about, beloved, the temporal things of this world, that's what God is pleased with. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, watch this now, and do count them but dung, and put them on the dunghill, that I might win Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, beloved, listen, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, when self is on the throne, then the Savior's being crucified. But thank God Almighty, when self is being crucified, the Savior can be on the throne in your life. Amen. And beloved, we know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, just Jesus. It's foolishness in the world. It, beloved, will deal with our flesh. But then let me give you this lastly in the message. Just Jesus and the family. And the family. The Bible said, and I, brethren. Let me let you in on something. Brother Mike, I don't know a whole lot about you. I love you, though. We've had some good times together. I've looked down there while I'm preaching and see him crying. Amen. I know he prays for me. And I know he loves me. But you know what I believe, Brother Mike? The Bible teaches this. We both got in the same way. Amen. We're in a family. You couldn't just join up with the family. You couldn't just sign a card, amen, and join up with the family. No, 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 no. To get in this family, he said, brethren, to get in this family, you must be born again. Amen. There has to come a time in our life when we're born of the Spirit of God. Watch this now. He said, and I, brethren, that's how he got in. That's why he's determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me say this to you. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Say amen. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I'm glad I have a time and a place in my life when I know that I met Jesus. Amen. I met him, beloved, in faith. The Bible said here, there's three things I want to say about the family quickly. The Bible said in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you get in this family, it requires faith. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You say, Pastor, what must we believe? You know, I love this. You get over there in the book of Acts, and there's Paul, and there's Silas, and they've been put in prison. They've been beaten. They've been put in prison because they're preaching the gospel, and they wouldn't shut up. They just kept preaching this just Jesus, just Jesus. And beloved, the Bible said that God visited that jail, and the day of the jail shook. It was like an earthquake, and the doors flew open. But there was a miracle took place. Nobody left. Nobody ran out of the prison. I guarantee you, if you shake the prisons in America and open the doors, amen, we're going to have a lot more problems than we got right now. They'll get out of there, amen. But they had heard Paul. They had heard Silas. They had heard them down there praying. They had heard them down there singing and praising God at midnight, the Word of God said. And the jailer was afraid. And he ran in. He grabbed the light and he ran in. And I want to think that lantern was tingling a little bit. Amen. Because the Bible said he was trembling. Amen. And he said this. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what Paul's answer was? Just Jesus. Glory to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm telling you, beloved, we've got church people. Listen, if somebody said to them at an intersection or a restaurant, in a car wreck, what must I do to be saved? They couldn't tell them. Shame on us. Amen. We ought to be able to say, hey, it's not me. It's Jesus you need. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the one that birthed us into the family. We see the family, beloved, in the word brethren. We see the faith of the family in verse number 5. If you turn over to chapter number 3, we see the foundation of the family. The Bible said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad, beloved? Listen, we're on the right foundation. Jesus said this. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you've watched any news in recent months, they're telling you that church numbers are going down. That people that are attending church, the numbers are going down. Their numbers are going down. And I'm talking about liberal churches and conservative churches alike. The numbers are going down. And so every once in a while, somebody will say something like this: "Well, the church is going down." Not the church I belong to. Honey, the church I belong to can't go down. You say, why can't it go down? Because I'm standing, Sister Jean, on the solid rock. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't going down. I'm going up. Amen. We're just supposed to stand like Paul did until he comes and takes us home. Amen. Brother Mays told a story years ago about a woman. This man he knew, his mama was dying. He went into the room, and the man said to his brother Mays before he went in the room, said, "Mama's slipping." And what he meant by that was slipping out into eternity. It wasn't going to be long, and she was going out into eternity. And Brother Mays went in the room and said, "Honey, are you slipping?" And this woman looked up at him and said, "Brother Mays, how can you slip when you're mired up knee deep in the rock of ages?" Glory to God. Amen. I'm talking about a foundation, beloved. The Bible said that standeth sure. Amen. There's a lot of things shaky in this world. But if you're on the foundation and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about going down. You're going up. Amen. When he comes for his children. And then I want to give you this. Not only, beloved, do we see the family of faith and the family that's on the right foundation, but we see a family with a wonderful future. Look at verse number 9 with me, if you will. The Bible said in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Many people quote that scripture and read that scripture, and they quit right there. And they say, "Well, man, there ain't no way we can know, what God has prepared." But we need to read the next verse. The Bible said, "But," that word's there for a reason. "God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean? What do you mean, the church and our future, the brethren, the family of God and our future?" Well, you remember, there was a man by the name of John. John, the beloved disciple. John, the one that would never even say his own name. He'd say that disciple whom Jesus loved. He'd say that other disciple. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. He wasn't like the average preacher. He wasn't out there with the mully grubs saying, "Why am I suffering like this? Why have I been taken away from my congregation? Why have I been taken away from my people?" The Bible said this, and I love it. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Can I tell you who showed up? Just Jesus. And he, glory to God. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus showed up there on the Isle of Patmos. And you say, "Pastor, why did you magnify that?" Because Jesus showed up. We know this. Look what the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. There's three things I want to magnify quickly right here. No more. The Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." You know what the sea does? The sea divides people. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. God's people get home, we're going to get together. Amen. The Bible said there's no more sea. If you go over to verse number 4, and the Bible said, "And God shall wipe away all tears." This is the things that God has prepared for them that love us, that love Him. Amen. The Bible said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more." I like that. No more sea. No more death. Watch this now. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know about you, but I believe that Paul had it right. He said, I'm determined. I'm in this family to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm talking about a family that's got faith, a family that's on the right foundation, a family, beloved, that has a future that's wonderful. Amen. In the presence of God. In verse number 3 of chapter 22, the Bible said, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. I was up in the garden yesterday evening late, and the potatoes, I was wondering if they were just going to lay in the ground and rot, but they're starting to poke through. Sister Marie told me the other day, Brother Junior's taters are blooming. Amen. That's because that blooming Brother Junior planted them in February. Amen. Amen. But you know what I also noticed? Weeds. Oh man, I like taters, but I ain't never eat a weed. And you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to work to keep the weeds out of the taters and out of the beans and out of the maters. Amen. Y'all are not from Pennsylvania. You know what maters are. Amen. You know what taters are. But you know what all that's a part of? It's a part of the curse. Miss Eve's got those roses along the back of the house. And there'll be some beautiful roses. But you know them roses have thorns on them. I'm going to a place where the roses never fade and where the roses don't have thorns on them. Say amen. I'm going to a place, beloved, where there's no such thing as a weed. Amen. Because the Bible said there's no more curse. Now, I wouldn't get excited, but I'm going to tell you this. If you make it there, by the grace of God, you make it there. And Jesus is going to come and He's going to set up His kingdom on the earth. The Bible said this, the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. You say, why? Because they're out from under the curse. Amen. They're out from under the curse. There's no more curse. I'm talking about a family of faith, a family that's on the right foundation, and a family that's got a wonderful future. Amen. We're going to get to be with Jesus. We're going to get to be like Jesus. So we ought to just go ahead and make much of Him now. Say amen. Amen. What a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, and I, brethren, and it's foolishness to the world. I, it'll give you victory over the flesh. Amen. But then it'll, when you think about brethren, you can be reminded of the wonderful family. You say, Pastor, I don't know why that choir keeps practicing and keeps singing. I do. They want to magnify the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Dale, he said this to me once. He said it 50 times since he's been here. Pastor, I just want it to be the best it can be. What's wrong with that? If you're saved by the grace of God, what's wrong with wanting to be the best Christian you can be? If you're a daddy, what's wrong with wanting to be the best daddy that you can be? If you're a papaw, what's wrong with wanting to be the best papaw that you can be, or the best mama or the best mommy that you can be? If you're a teenager, what's wrong with just wanting to be the best Christian in your school that you can be? I'm telling you, beloved, there's nothing wrong with that. Our Lord is worthy. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I believe, Brother Jason, he could have got up. I mean, he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. I believe he could have got up and... How many of you know what I'm talking about? He could have used words where you had to have a wheelbarrow to haul them around in. I mean, it wasn't just long. It curled around in the wheelbarrow. He could have used them big, long words. He could have impressed you with his knowledge. He said, I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you read in that text, he said, I'm standing here in weakness and in fear and in trembling. That's one of the things that's wrong in our country. We all think we're strong. Oh, no. We all think we got this. There's nothing wrong, beloved, with knowing we need Him. He said, without me, you can do nothing but turn that coin over. And the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you need strength today? You see, if you need to be saved, just Jesus can save you. If your home needs to be put back together, just Jesus can put it back together. If you need victory over your flesh, just Jesus is where you're going to find it. Amen. And I believe if we ever have revival in America, it's going to get back to a place where we're going to have to get back to Jesus. Him crucified. Amen. He loves us today. Father, thank you for the service. Thank you for these that have come today. I pray, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll speak to hearts. Help us this day, our Father, to understand and to know, Lord, that it doesn't matter what the problem is. Jesus is the solution. Lord, you can help us and you want to help us. I pray, dear Father, today that you'll speak to the heart of those, our Father, that need to hear you, need to hear your voice. Lord, I thought about Mary there at the tomb. Lord, she thought Jesus was the gardener. Then, Lord, you spoke her name, and she recognized your voice. God, would you help someone today to recognize the voice of the Lord? Lord, people will miss nothing if they miss the pastor's voice, but they'll miss everything, Lord, if they miss the voice of the Savior. Lord, deal with hearts, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.